2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to start there. Paul was writing and he says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we want to thank you for your word. I want to ask, Lord, that you'll continue to speak through me to this congregation, and Lord, I pray also that the Holy Spirit will reveal from your word exactly what each one needs, that this day will be a fulfillment of what you have planned. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth in New Life Fellowship today, as it is in heaven. And so we just look forward to your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you'll give me the words to speak, and I won't speak of my own flesh, but of your spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. Well, as I was praying, I believe the Lord gave me a word for Glenfield and for New Life, the same word today, and it's talking about pursuing the prize. Pursuing the prize. You know, everybody does something for a prize. There isn't one sport that I've played that I didn't anticipate a medal. I didn't anticipate a ribbon, or I didn't anticipate something, because I went into that sport knowing that that was a possibility, that you could get a championship football. You could get you could be the track star. You could be the wrestling state champion. You could, you know, go into baseball. We love playing baseball in the summer. And when we were playing, we wanted to be the champions, but we never made it, but we wanted to be. And what I find interesting is that everybody in majority of life does something to get a prize. But when it comes to Christianity, we're pretty lax. We don't pursue Christianity like we pursue other things. And I found that an interesting parallel today, because on your TV, you've been probably watching some sort of reports about the athletes that are playing in the Olympics or doing things in the Olympics. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine doing something for 4 years hoping to be the best at that moment, and then do it again the next year. Remember the Chinaman that, he's never lost in gymnastics? I mean, he's been the champion. He's got gold medals. And then you got, is it Michael Phelps, the swimmer? I mean, look at what he's accomplished. And how do you come to a point where you absolutely become so trained in everyday life that you are the champion for that sport? In the world, not to mention your state, in the world, that at that moment, at that hour, when called upon, because they organize the Olympics and all the other things, they organize that so that this is when the Olympics is and this is when you compete, so you better be at your best. And all of a sudden, we see these people that go into tirelessly going into working out, eating right, working out, doing this, training themselves, and not just training physically, but training their mind to stay focused, keeping their eye, as they say, on the prize. I mean, there's something there that we need to get in the church. Because the reality is that the church is pretty slack when it comes to the comparison of athletics in the scripture. And so what I want to do today is talk about that. What we read in Corinthians was talking about Paul. Paul had an amazing lineup of credits to his name before he ever met Christ. Once he received Christ, he had another line of credits that are exactly what we just read. He said, "We have a treasure in jars of clay to show the all-surpassing powers from God and not from us." He says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus." Now, for him to be able to write this, you got to think about it. Every letter he wrote to a church, he's either whipped beaten inches of his life because of the gospel. So every place he went, he knew what was coming. He knew that there was a beating. And I don't know about you, but my flesh tells me when I hurt. It lets me know when things don't work right. So what was so big inside of him that was greater than what was happening on the outside of him? What would your mind be thinking after you just got a beating of your life? I might not go back there again. Or I might stay away from those people. But in the whole process of this, there was something that Paul was looking for that was greater than what was happening to his physical body. And I don't know about you, but there's something that we need to get from Paul's life. There's something that needs to take place from the people that we've seen do incredible things. How many of you ever heard of Jack Van Impe? They call him the Walking Bible. I don't know too many that want to be the Walking Bible. Really, I don't know of any other man that's been named the Walking Bible like he has been. But obviously, there was something in him that caused him to study more than any other or memorize more than any other to the point where he got the nickname the Walking Bible. And it wasn't because he couldn't demonstrate it. Every day on the TV show that he had called Jack Van Impe Live or whatever, he would consistently talk about the things that he'd memorized and what had taken place. And I don't know about you, but there's something inside of these people that we read about that stirs me to not be okay with where I'm at. I'm not satisfied. What I mean by that is I'm hungry for something greater than what's already happened at New Life. I want more of what God is, because if you and I think that we've even come close to knowing God, we've got a long ways to go, because there's so much about him that is still yet to be revealed. Now, I'm not searching for stuff that's way out there that nobody's ever going to get. All I want is when I look at Jesus, when I hear about Jesus, I want to be the kind of guy that talks about Jesus like I know him rather than I know about him. Because there's a lot of people that know facts about Jesus, but they have no idea who he is because they've never spent any time reading, they've never spent any time praying, and they've never wanted to hear anything he's got to say. Therefore, how in the world can we really know this Jesus of who we claimed here this morning? And what I want to compare that to is the Christian life, because I really find it interesting that there was something about Paul that definitely shakes my world. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Once again, Paul had an amazing work that was done in him. Philippians chapter 3, I'd like to begin reading verse 4. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, the Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, and for legalistic righteousness, faultless. That's who he was before he met Christ. Now look at what happens. Verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but there's a prize to be won. The prize is Jesus Christ. It's not heaven. The prize is Jesus Christ. Because heaven is a byproduct of Jesus. Who are we trying to get to know here? Heaven or Jesus? Jesus. We're trying to get to find out who he is, all about him, and just let this revelation of who God is through Jesus Christ is just be continually unveiled to us. But now because of this revelation of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden we've got this thing that we have to come through that I'm not going to Jesus just to get to heaven. I'm going to Jesus so that I can know him personally. I know him so that when somebody comes up to you and says, can you tell me about Jesus? They can say, yep. Or they'll say, no, but I know a few things about him that might be helpful. Which one would you rather have? Would you rather have somebody that's met him or somebody that's just read about him? I don't know about you, but I'd rather talk to somebody that has met somebody that can tell me this is what they're like, this is who they are, this is what they like to do, and this is all what we enjoy about knowing him. So he says, we want to know him. Now, I find it interesting in this. He says in verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the easy part of knowing Christ. Jesus rose again from the dead over sin, hell, and death in the grave, and he rose victoriously. And I don't know about you, but I do too. I don't want to go to the grave. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. But the only way there is to get to know him. To know him intimately and know him personally, that when I walk with him, I can't wait to walk with him. When I talk with him, I can't wait to talk with him. Why? Well, think about it. Why would you want to spend eternity with somebody you don't care about here? Just asking. If you don't care about Jesus here, you're not going to enjoy heaven. But if you get to know Jesus Christ and the reason God created you and the purpose behind why you're here, I guarantee you, you'll become intoxicated with the fact that you can't wait to know who he is. Because when we know who he is, then we can go and consistently tell people of who they are, who he is to others, and watch them be saved from the devil's wrath and the devil's pitfalls of life. I can talk about him personally rather than just talk about him. I can tell you what he would say. When people tell me things about what God told them, I can tell right away whether it's from God or not. You know why? Because of what his word says. Because of what he's told me in one-to-one conversation. And why is that? Because you can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool God any of the time. God is not fooled by your lack of knowledge, nor is the devil. So we don't want to become one of those that just has enough information to talk about him. But I don't know about you, but the time that we spend with him, we want to get to the point of knowing who he is. Well, knowing his resurrection is great, but look at the next part of that verse. And the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Fellowship is fellows in the same ship. That means you're in the same boat together. That you learn to walk together with Christ in the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Whatever that means, I don't know. But I'll guarantee you, Paul knew. Because he was beaten. He was left for dead. All because of this desire to know Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I bet that's the difference between knowing him and knowing about him. If you get persecution for knowing him, you'll stay with Jesus. If you get persecution for knowing about him, you'll walk away from him in a heartbeat. Do you know him, or is he known by you? Does God call you by name? Does God call you one of his sheep that says, "You, my sheep know my voice"? Why? Because he's talking all the time. He's constantly speaking about himself and his Father's world to us that we might be able to walk in this. But he says, I want to know him. That was Paul's desire. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, which is very biblical. You know why? Because he told his disciples, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Where did Jesus' life lead him to? The cross. Where's your life going to lead you to? The cross. And if you don't learn to crucify your ways, your thoughts, your desires, you will never experience the ways of Christ. You'll never know him. You'll never know him like he wants to be known. The reason is because you're in the way. When I'm in the way of my own thoughts are in the way, when my own actions are in the way, when my own words are in the way, there's no possible way I'll ever get to the point where I can understand him, know him, and hear his voice and do what he says. Why? Because I've got my more important things to do, God. I've got my stuff, and it's real important to me. So let me put it this way. I'll wait with that. That'll come later. So to become like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, when you die, you too will resurrect and be resurrected to heaven. You too will not stay in the grave. You won't go to hell. You'll go to spend eternity with him in heaven. That's what comes out of a life that is fellowshipping and sharing with his sufferings and fellowship and sharing in his resurrection. Remember what water baptism is? You come to know Christ, you step into the water, it's a death, burial, and resurrection. You die to your old way of living, you resurrect to live a new life. That's why water baptism is really important. You get rid of who you are and you begin to take on a new nature of who God is. Now, it'll take you the rest of your life to continue to work yourself out of that, but it's really important to realize that you don't want to compromise the work that God wants to do. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 9, becoming one of my favorite scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There's a price to get the prize. There's a price to get the prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says in verse 24, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Now, in all reality, that's very true. There's a race that is to be run, and there is only one that gets the prize, but the reality of the race is this. You're not competing against anybody. I'm not running against Dwayne. I'm not running against Bud. I'm not running against Lyle or Tyler or Ray. I'm not running against any one of them. I am not in competition with the body. Hence, to all the pastors that might listen to this, you're not in competition with the pastor down the road. If we're not working for the same boss, then quit fighting over people. It's ridiculous. Isn't there enough people outside this church that you can fight over? Absolutely. So let's quit fighting over the few that do come, and let's worry about the majority that don't. Well, you know for a fact, 80% of the people in a 40-mile radius of this church don't touch a doorstep on Sunday morning. 80%. So what's there to fight over? Hence, what's there to fight over in the church? Color of the carpet? Really seems kind of finicky, doesn't it? But the reality is this, and now I went on a rabbit trail and lost my train of thought. You're not in competition with anybody. I am running my race, and that's why only one gets the prize. But if I don't run my race, I won't get the prize. I'm not in competition with Art. I'm not in competition with Josie. There's no reason to compete. If any one of these guys could get up here and preach 10 times better than I am, I'd applaud them. Go for it. I'll go do something else. I don't care, because I'm not in competition. What they're doing is they're adding to the body. Right? So what are we concerned about competition for? Let's get in and let's realize that we are running this race. But let me ask you, are you sure you're on the right track? Wouldn't it be terrible to all of a sudden live your life and get to the end of your race and all the time you were running the wrong direction? You literally, thousands are in churches today. Thousands are in churches that are running the wrong way. And nobody's stopping them. You know that when I was in track, when I ran the quarter, also ran the 100-yard dash because it was the shortest race I could run. Well, I did shot put and discus and I couldn't jump, so it didn't matter. So it was the easiest, shortest race. So I did that and got done. But I ran the quarter, and in the quarter, and even in the 100-yard dash, there is lines that you have to stay in. And if you get out of those lines, you are disqualified. You can't get a prize. You can't stand on the stand. There's no recognition to you. You're like as if you never run. You are disqualified. So the reality is that God has a race that's marked out for us. Run to get the prize. So what's the prize? The prize is Jesus Christ, but in all reality, the prize is consistently being revealed as I run my race. I'm getting more and more understanding of who Jesus Christ is, and because of that, I love running. I can't wait to see more of him. I can't wait to hear who he is more. I just can't wait. Why? Because he's the prize. And if I learn to be satisfied with knowing that Jesus Christ is the prize and I run my race and I'm running the right way, I'll consistently have this understanding and revelation of who he is more and more and more. But if I'm running the wrong way, I'll get discouraged and frustrated. I won't see anything of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm disqualified. And nobody likes to talk about it in their church because they don't think Jesus would. But let me read to you very clearly what Paul wrote. Verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. So if he has to tell you to run to get the prize, there's a way to run to not get the prize. So then he says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. What? Oh, man. I am so glad I had to run for a living because I hate running. I do. You can have it. You run all you want. I don't care. All the yous that like to run, go ahead and run. In the natural, I don't like running. But he says, run to get the prize. And everyone who goes into competition goes into what kind of training? Really? I wonder how many athletes in the Olympics were in strict training for a long period of time to do what they did. Every day they woke up, not to be average, not to be normal, not to be anybody else, but they went and realized this race has a prize. And I'm going to be one of the few that ever get a prize because I'm going to run my race. So in the process of seeing the prize, I now beat my body or train it. I train my mind. I train my eyes to stay focused because anytime I want to get a Krispy Kreme donut, I say no because I know that won't help me get the prize. I'm glad Snickers is on the list, though. But the reality is that they have to live such a different life than the norm. Are Christians normal? Not according to Scripture. You're peculiar. You're a different breed of cat. You're different. So if I'm going to run this race, I'm going to eliminate many of the things that cause me to be normal, and I'm going to begin to run, and I'm going to allow myself to be trained, strictly trained, to do what the Word of God says rather than what I want. Now, does that mean you can't be a carpenter, a farmer, or a rancher, or a politician? Well, we better not go that far. But I mean, if God calls you to do certain things, you can do that and still honor God. But when you run your race for Christ, there's only one thing that counts, and that's if you run the race according to what God says. He says everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So if I were to ask myself this question, I asked myself earlier, so I'll ask it again. Do I spiritually train like an athlete? And if I don't, why not? Because if I don't spiritually train myself to be an athlete in the kingdom, then I'm nothing but normal, lazy, and will not see much God happening. Did you notice that was only so many people that were able to go to the Olympics and compete? Only so many. So the reality is that when God calls Christians, they are a different walk of life. It's something totally different. And that when Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. There's a new way of living. There's a new way of doing things. And the only way that I can keep doing what's new is if I go into strict training. Strict training. Let me say it again. Strict training. Spiritually. Spiritually train myself to be so consumed with what God's word says that my flesh has to say no to the spirit, or my spirit says no to the flesh, because my flesh is going to want to eat whatever it wants. My mind is going to want to think and read and do whatever it wants. My words are going to want to fly out just because they're funny, but it might not be to God. So therefore, I have to learn to allow my spirit man to be so big inside of me that it trains me to be something different than what I normally was. So once again, if something within me is not greater than what's against me, I'll never succeed. Every athlete that was in the Olympics had something within them that caused them to train and train and train and train and train until that day of competition, and then they got that reward. Why? Because they disciplined themselves to go into strict training to make sure that they could win the prize. So how many Christians are really running to win the prize, or are we running just to kind of say we're in the race? Sad to say, we've easily gone into this place where we just run to say, I'm in the race. I'm not going to train myself. I'm not going to be strict in training. I'm not going to go discipline myself like all those other fanatics. Really? Then maybe you're not in the race. Now, you got to remember, I just read it word for word. I'm just saying they go into strict training to get a crown that will not last. But Paul says we do it to get a crown that will last. Therefore, I do not run like a man aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body, which is obviously I haven't. And it's not going to get any better today, I tell you what. But he says, I beat my body. What does that mean? That means that when his thoughts wanted to run away, he disciplined in strict training and say, no, mind, you will not think like that. That is not godly, and you will not be like that. When his body wanted to do something that wasn't godly, he said, no, body, you will not. The Spirit of God rose up inside of him so much that he says, no, you will not act like that. You will not desire that. You will not do those things. Why? Because I'm in strict training for a prize, and I'm not willing to compromise my prize. But what do we say in the church many times? We go into this counseling mode. Oh, you poor thing. And I'm not downing counseling. I'm just saying, I think it's overdone. I wonder what kind of counseling Paul would have gone to. But he never had one day that tore him apart about killing Christians when they were crucified on crosses. Why? Because God healed him so deep, because he allowed him to. And he got such a different picture than what it is, than what really was happening. And I don't know about you, but I am not downing counseling. I know counseling has its place, but I do think it has a place where it has robbed God's word, and we just continue to pad our insecurities rather than really get down to the nitty-gritty and get over it. But he says they go into strict training to run. Strict training to run. And then he says this. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave. Wow. Wouldn't it be something to have somebody that followed you wrong and they did everything you asked? That's what a slave is. They walk around. They walk around and do whatever they asked. I'm sorry. I had a funny thought and I can't share it. But really, your body is your slave. And with God's help, it'll do everything God asks. It will, but you've got to train it. You've got to train it. If you don't train it, it's not going to succeed. So then he says this in closing. He says, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. What? Disqualified? Paul, the kingpin of the Gospels, or I should say of the New Testament, is talking about being disqualified if he doesn't run the race according to what God's word says? Yes. You can disqualify yourself. Just like in a natural race, you can disqualify yourself by getting out of the boundaries of what has been laid out. It's not something new. It's been there for years. The tracks that have gone around tracks are, the lines have been the same. You just got to learn to stay in the lines. Same thing with the gospel. If I stay within the boundaries of what God has laid out for me in the scriptures, I will not be disqualified. As soon as I step out of those boundaries, I now open myself up to get into the area of being disqualified. Be careful. You know, the reality is, turn over with me to 1 John chapter 5. I love this scripture. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 3, this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everything born of God overcomes the world. Isn't that amazing? The life God has given us is going to overcome. It's going to win. You just have to learn to realize that the commands of God are not a drag, they're not a burden, and they will absolutely bring life to you. One last scripture, Jeremiah 9. If you're going to win the prize, you got to compete according to the rules. That doesn't mean you can go off and do whatever you want and think you're still going to get a prize. You got to live according to what God's word says. It's no different for the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher. It's no different for them as is anybody else. You have to compete according to the prize, according to the rules, I should say, to get the prize, or you will be disqualified. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. If you want to be someone that is that really knows what you're talking about, spend time with God. Spend time with him. Get to know him. Don't talk about him. Get to know him personally. The other day when I was in my prayer time, the Lord spoke to me. Should be a common phrase for the Christian. You know why? The Bible says in John chapter 10, my sheep know me, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know my voice. My days and your days should be directed by the hand of God more than it is already. And the only way that will happen is if I'm listening, not with my natural ear, but with my spiritual ears. I'm hearing and knowing what's important to God. So with that, I think I'm pretty much done. Do you know him or do you just know about him? If you're going to get to know him, you're going to have to give him some time. Spend time in his word. Spend time listening to the Spirit of God. Spend time knowing him. It's so, so important. Father, tonight or today, we just want to thank you and praise you that you are a God that is easily known. Because your word tells us about you. The Holy Spirit reveals stuff about you. It shouldn't be that hard. But Lord, the longer we know you, the more that you'll reveal. And Lord, I pray today that no matter what stage of our Christian walk we're in, that there's a desire in our heart that is completely unsatisfied. Because we do want to know more of you. We do want to know you personally. We do want to get to the point where when you speak, we speak. When you say move, we move. We don't question. When you say be quiet, we silence. When you say do this or do that, we're not trying to figure out why you should or why we should or why we shouldn't. But because we are obedient to your voice, Lord, I just pray that it becomes obvious of how we need to know you more than we do. Lord, I pray that each one of us will desire to be under strict training spiritually. It's one thing to train our physical body, but it's another thing to train our spirit man so that we see things the way you see them. And Lord, I just know it's such a joy to know you. What we already know about you is great, but Lord, we're not done yet. We're hungry. Lord, I want this community and I want this church and I want my life to see more of you than I've ever seen before. Not because I just want to know about you, I want to know you. I want to be able to tell people about who you really are. And I pray that's their heart's desire as well. That there's nothing greater than just really getting to know who you are. And so, Lord, thank you for helping us to do that. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, throughout the rest of this day, there's a desire within us that we want to see more of you. And so, Lord, We ask, and we know that as we spend time with you, it'll be obvious who you are more and more. And I pray that that desire in each and every one of us grows to a point of saying, I'm not satisfied with what I know. I'm hungry to know more. So, Lord, that we can communicate you to the world that surrounds this church, even in other countries as we go on mission trips, where we'll be able to say, I don't know just information about a God. I know him personally. And, Lord, I pray that's our heart's desire. Let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows who you are. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God's blessing. Let's see. Let's pray for the food. I'm sure there's something to eat around here, right? Father, bless the gift and the giver of those that have brought food and multiply it to be enough for each and every one to enjoy. But Lord, once again, just as physical food fills our physical body, Lord, let your spirit be so heavy here today that it fills our spirit man again and again, overflowing with more of you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So moms and dads, obviously take your kids through the line whenever that's ready, and be a blessing to each other as you go. And I'm not sure what's going to happen next.